Hebrews 6, verse 18, just the fifth line down there. Five words. Who have fled for refuge? And then in Luke 15, verse 3. Luke 15, verse 3. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it, and having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. Being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Then finally, in 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel 22, page 385, if that's helpful. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. And David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And his brethren and all his father's house heard it, and they went down to him. And everyone in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone of embittered spirit collected round him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. I really just wanted to speak about these five words in Hebrews. Who have fled for refuge. I don't think we really can grasp. If we believed in Jesus, I don't think we can grasp what we've fled from. And I don't think we can fully understand the refuge that is ours. It's a very difficult thing for me to do, to stand up here and tell you about it. It's wonderful, I can tell you that. There was a story of a pastor who, on his way home from a church meeting, he saw somebody's house was on fire. He went in with his son and he shouted. He said, anybody in? No answer. So he said to his son, well, let's get whatever we can out of the house, the possessions, the family photo albums. That's the first thing I'd go for. Photographs are special. He brought out the furniture. Whatever they could, before the fire ravaged the house, they brought it out. The next Lord's Day he was preaching, and he said to the congregation that he and his son, and he told them the story, but he failed to say that there was a fire in the house. So he was telling the congregation the story. He'd gone in to this house with his son and how amazing it was, and they gathered this and they gathered that and they brought out what they could. And there was very little reaction from the crowd. And he went home. His wife, his long-suffering wife, had been in the congregation. And he said, I didn't understand. He said, I thought that was a wow story to tell. And nobody got it. He said, I went into that house. And she said, but dear, you didn't say that the house was on fire. I use that just simply to remind you, if you are a Christian, to never ever forget what you fled from. Do you understand it? Maybe there's someone here who isn't a Christian. Do you understand what we mean when we flee from something? I'll take you back to many, many years ago, lots, far too many years, when somebody came to the place I lived in and preached the gospel, and they read from Luke 15, and they read the same verses that we've read tonight about someone having lost a sheep, and he goes into the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he find it, and having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And I remember sitting there thinking, I know I need to be saved. And in that moment, in that gospel hall, I said, Lord Jesus, come in. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I understand there's only one name given under heaven by which I must be saved. You see, when you read that verse about fleeing for refuge, I was sitting there, I don't know, I was 13, 14. Nobody saw me flee. I didn't run across the room. Nobody saw what was going on in my heart. But I know in that moment, I said yes to Jesus. Come into my heart and reign without a rival there. At the end of that gospel meeting, all those many years ago, we sang that same hymn, 217. And I'd sat there through the gospel, and I'd thought about the shepherd picking me up and putting me on his shoulders. Inside, it was all happening. Outwardly, you wouldn't have known that I personally was fleeing for refuge. You wouldn't have known. But inside is what God sees. And God knows every heart in this room. And God knows if you personally have fled for refuge. We sing those words, haste to the open gate. I remember singing them. I remember sobbing because Jesus had converted me. Because I was a believer. I'd come into that room as an unbeliever, as saying it was nonsense, as rebelling, as hurting my parents. I knew I was. But there was a moment in that gospel hall where I felt it was me, the lost sheep. And Jesus was reaching down to pick me up and put me on his shoulders. And I said, yes, I'll accept it. Not on my terms, on his. I'll accept it. What a wonderful moment it is. But as I say outwardly, you wouldn't have known. We sang those words, haste to the open gate. Come, ere it be too late. In a way, I was just a lost sheep that Jesus had picked up. But that is what the gospel is, friend. That is me, or the lost sheep, fleeing from having fled for refuge. There's no outward drama, there's no outward thing going on, you might say, but in the heart. And God sees the heart. And God knows when a soul accepts his son. Have you done that? Imagine, I often think about it, if I hadn't gone through that gate, if I hadn't fled for refuge, where would I be? Where would you be, friend? Have you come? That's the point of tonight, is that you will come to Jesus personally, yourself. It speaks about, we've sung about the gate. It says it's narrow. There's only room for one. One at a time. Come in one by one. You can't come on what dad and mum say. You can't come on what your brother says. You can't come on what somebody else says. It's for you personally to come through that gate yourself. Fled for refuge. What are you fleeing from? You know, when Jesus stooped down that night to pick me up and put me on his shoulders, I was well and truly lost. I mean, how do you do it? How do you pick a lamb up? How do you pick a sheep up? Do you just reach down and grab it? No, you get down. You stoop down. And that's what Jesus did. He came down to this earth. The very God himself, he came down, he stooped. You remember that woman that was caught in the act of committing adultery? It says Jesus stooped and he wrote in the dust. He stooped down. I think that's him, the mighty God a man become. That's what he did. He came down to this earth. He came into that condition, a body prepared. He came himself and accepted the will of God. Came in as a baby into Bethlehem's manger. And then the baby inevitably grew up. Became a boy. Became I think it says, doesn't it? A little child. Became a teenager. Went into his 20s. Went into his 30s. Growing in wisdom and stature. In favour with God and men. What did he do in his life? I remember getting to 33 myself and thinking, oh dear, what have I done compared to what Jesus did Think of his life. It says in the end of one of the Gospels, the world can't contain the books written that Jesus did. Think of them. Think of the acts of compassion. Think of, and we've just said, each one has to come one by one. It says he healed many of their diseases. Think of that, one by one. Not, I'll heal a lot of you. No, it's individual. One by one, they had to come to Jesus and he healed them. He touched them. He freed them. He released them. That was his life. That was his stoop. You read these verses, or these five words. Who have fled for refuge? So you think of a sheep that's lost. That's sad, isn't it? You know, in the modern Christian halls nowadays, there's very often a cross. It'll be lit. It'll be bright pink. It will change colour. The gospel, friend, is very much about what we've been saved from, as well as what we've been brought to. Always remember that. People make God a God of love, and God is love. But always remember that you, if you're a Christian, will have fled for refuge. Remember what you've been saved from. And in between these words here, who have fled for refuge? You're running away from something and you're going to something. Isn't that what repentance is? It's a change of heart. Isn't it Luke 15? He was in the far country and he turned around and he went to his father's house. That's what the gospel is. A change of heart. It says that young man came to himself. He fled for refuge. Maybe it was a slow walk for him. I don't know. But he went to his father's house because he knew he was wrong. And what was he leaving behind? The sheep that's lost, what a condition it's in. It's in a dangerous, perilous condition. What was the younger son doing? He was hungry. His money had gone. Everything was wrong. He had no satisfaction, no joy, no hope. What did he flee from? He fled from the world. What does the world offer you? Read it in the newspaper. Is it good? Is it lovely reading? Having fled for refuge. Think of sin. Think of what it's doing to mankind. Think of what it's done to you. Think of what one sin will do, separating you from the presence of God. Think how, in the beginning, man sinned. Was it a lovely outcome? Was he happy? Was he any happier than what the conditions that God had put him in? No, he wasn't. He was miserable. He was frightened. He wanted to hide himself. Isn't that what sin does to us? It separates, it isolates. That's what sin does. And that's what we're fleeing from, friend. That's in the gospel is the offer to flee from sin. Who makes you sin? Well, it's you, isn't it? Yes, it is. But it's Satan. Isn't that what happened in the Garden of Eden? The slithering snake comes along in the grass and it says, ah, but God has said. He twists the word of God. Isn't that what he's done in your life and mine? Isn't it him that we're fleeing from? Sin and Satan and the world. Is that not what we're fleeing from? You see, God has to deal with it. He can't just brush it under the carpet. He can't just put it to one side because of who he is. In Hebrews 6, it tells you that, doesn't it? Since he had no greater to swear by, swore by himself. Everything that God says about himself is true. So when God is light, he is. When God is love, he is. He's the one and only true God. But you see, these modern churches, they make you just forget all the bad bits and give you a nice neon cross. And you can come, and God is love, and you can live exactly how you want to live. But I think that's forgetting what you fled from. You see, it's not a pink neon cross. It's a wooden one. Was it soft? I don't think so. Did it hurt? I've no doubt that it did. You see, you flee and you go to refuge, but is there not something in between? Between the fleeing and the refuge is a cross. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs pass the cross. You must go there, friend. That's what I did in that gospel hall all those years ago. I was a lost sheep, but I went to the cross of Christ. What did I find there? I found that the man who was God had come into conditions here and lived and loved and healed and showed compassion and so much more. But he'd also done another stoop for me. Yes, he can pick the sheep up because he has a righteous basis to do so. Yes, because Jesus has been to that cross, a wooden, harsh place. A place of love? No. A place of a skull? A place of comfort? No. I watched my mother die in February. And you're in this hospital, there's machines, there's pillows, there's every possible comfort, if you like, available for someone when they're dying. And you think, and you read of Jesus, and think of the way he died, think of the way he suffered. And there were none to comfort him. He looked for them. He looked for comforters and he found none. There was nothing to give him comfort from the wooden cross he was on, from the nails in his hands, from the thorns, the crown of thorns. The nails in his hands and his feet, from the beating, from the hate, from the spitting, from the scorn, from the being set at naught. Imagine it all on one man alone. What was he there for, friend? He was there for you. He was there for every one of you. That's why he went that way. That's why he stooped. That's how he can legitimately, righteously pick up the lamb. Pick up the person that's lost. He can pick them up because he himself has borne the judgment. Oh, friends, think of the judgment you've fled from, if you have. You know, you and your sins, if you are, you will have to face a righteous God. You will have to. There's no escape. In a day to come, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, there is a place called hell. And I'd be wrong if I didn't tell you so. There is a place. There is a place. There is a lake of fire. And it's an awful place. And it speaks of it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of regret. Friend, the opportunity is now to give your heart to Jesus. Oh, why wouldn't you? Why unbelieving? Why? What stops men? What prevents men? Their own selfish will, I suppose, and Satan, who binds men. They enjoy sin, the temporary pleasures of sin. Oh, friend, give it all up for Jesus. Do you know, he stooped down. He went onto that cross. You imagine those others that were crucified with him, trying to pull away. Do you know, he went willingly, laid himself down, and they picked that cross up. His hands were outstretched. Isn't that amazing? It's a plus. You know, that's the shape it makes, isn't it? We're a negative, aren't we? We've done wrong. We've failed. We've sinned. We've messed up. We're in debt to God. The wages of sin, it says, is death. We're a minus. What did God in his love and his grace do? He came down and he made it a plus. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the cross of Christ. It says it's wondrous. So it is for you and me. It's a place we need to go to. Go to the cross. Where else? See, on that cross, Jesus bore your sins and he bore mine. He took your place and he took mine. Not only did he stoop, he gave himself, he gave his life, he shed his precious blood. Peter, as we said earlier, called it precious, precious blood. Remember that, it is precious. John saw the blood, didn't he? He was a witness to it. But more than that, God saw the blood. And you know, if you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it says God will pass over you. Isn't that wonderful? When I see the blood, I will pass over them. Think about it, friend. Don't put it off. Just the urgency. It's a very hot day. But just get the impression that it's an urgent message and that you personally do need to flee for refuge. The stoop, friend, was the stoop into death, and that the death of the cross. Think about that. Think about the sufferings. Think about Jesus delivering up his spirit. Think about the darkness. I often think it would have been lovely to have been Peter or John. Not that I would have been chosen, I'm quite sure, but Peter, not, you know, just around when Jesus was about. It would be so much easier to believe. You do know, friend, that it was dark when Jesus died. When your sins and mine were put upon Jesus, when he bore the judgment of sin from God, it was absolutely dark. And anyone there would not have seen their sins being put on Jesus, because it was dark. They had to believe, just as you and I have to believe, that what Jesus did on that cross was enough. Friend, it was enough. Be in no doubt. He's paid the price. He's paid your debt. Do you not love him? You know, we talked about the coming day and we talked about heaven earlier. Fled for refuge. Is that all it is? Is it just a place, refuge? Is that what we go to? Is that the hope? Vague hope that we have? Fled for refuge. The refuge, friend, is a person. We read in Samuel, David departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And his brethren and all his father's house heard it. They went down. Everyone in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone of embittered spirit, collected round him. I just was impressed with that, really. Think of a... It'd be quite nice to be in a cave at the moment, wouldn't it? I suppose it was dark and dank, probably dripping wet. Not a pleasant place. What was the attraction? They collected round him. Friend, you come to Jesus tonight. He's the one that's done it all. He's the one that's given his life and shed his precious blood. He's our hope. It's all in a person. The baby in the manger. The man that healed. The man on the cross. The man that went into death and broke its power. The man that bore your sins in his body on the tree. It says, doesn't it, in Isaiah 32, a man shall be recovered from the storm. Let's get it quite correct. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the storm, as brooks of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. It's all in a person, friend. And his name's Jesus, and he's available to you tonight. I just ask you to open your heart to him. I know it's hot. I won't be much longer. But just remember, you see, sometimes we think, and this is to you if you are a Christian and you've given your heart to Jesus, and you think it's going to be wow and everything wonderful. I was talking to a man recently And he said, I said to him, you do realise I'm a Christian? And he said, oh, I do know. Yes, I do know. Stuff you've said before. I've heard it. Yes, I do know. He wasn't interested at all. And then the business meeting, the directors left. And I was left with this one chap. And I thought, oh, how's this going to go? And he said, after a long, long pause of silence, he said, what's it like to be a Christian? Good question, isn't it? Does it mean there is no sorrow? No. Does it mean there aren't tests and trials and problems? No. You'll get them. You'll get them in bucket loads. It's not an easy path. These people escaped. They fled for refuge to a cave of Adullam. There were people that were in distress. You'll get distresses. There'll be debts. People that owe you stuff. People that say harsh words. And everyone of embittered spirit or discontented or sorrowful. You'll get all of those things. You will. But I would just urge anyone here that felt like they were going up to a mountain top. They thought Christianity was just like going up a mountain and the sun would be shining and it would all be wonderful. And they find themselves in a cave. Remember to go to him. Go to Jesus. If you've got a problem in your life, if you've got a sorrow, if you've got a worry, if you've got a care, if you've got a question you can't answer, sometimes it's good just to go to the cave, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself. It's in a person, it's in thee. Friend, come to him. If you've come before, come again. He's a friend. That's what I did tell that chap. I said, it isn't easy. It isn't. And you'll get sorrows and you'll get hurts. You'll get disappointments. You get stuff that you just wonder why God allowed it. But go to him. Tonight, just commit yourself freshly to him and find that he is a refuge for the lost and the hurt and those in debt and those in embittered spirit. It's him. I offer no one else. I offer him because I've proved him to be a true and a faithful friend. One who's never, ever let me down. Never. Picked me up that night. Put me on his shoulders and has never put me down. Never. His word is true. His word is honest. His word is pure. And he's what Isaiah says, he's wonderful. Calls him wonderful. One of his titles is wonderful, and I've proved him to be so, and I know others have proved him to be so too. But just come. This world isn't wonderful, but he is. That's all.